further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. And here's your host, David Von Strawn.
Hello! Charlottesville! It is Sunday! It is June the 17th, and it is 10 o'clock, which means...
You have arrived here by mistake. Oh my god.
You thought this was just regular 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, but it's not! We are the awesome show of Homegrown. I am David Von Strawn, aka the Devious One, aka Negro Suave, aka Nefarious Rucker, aka Black Frodo. Just a little guy with ugly feet trying to get through the world of darkness.
Okay, so we spent so much time on the Black Frodo because the Black Frodo, can I say, is just really wonderful.
It's there!
But Nefarious Rucker, what is Nefarious Rucker?
It's all right, because like for all of high school, I was a closet like Hootie and the Blowfish fan. Like any rock band with a person of color in it, I was down with. Hootie and the Blowfish, check. Seven Dust, check. Ra, check. Like whoever like had PE, like check. Deftones, all Hispanic bands, super check. So I was just like, I was just all for representing POCs that did like rock music. So
straight up Hootie reference.
Yeah.
You doing a straight up Hootie reference.
Yo, Darius Rucker, his voice is soaked in honey. And I will fight anybody who contends that. Like, think of his long. I mean, you can say whatever you want about the dude. He's got pipes. He's got major pipes. Hate if you want. With a little love. No, I'm not even gonna do it. Don't disrespect the honey-soaked voice of Darius Rucker. You do not. You don't. You just don't do it.
Awash with blowfish.
All awash with heavily poisonous blowfish. But
didn't the Darius leave us? Didn't he go to the country world?
Well, Darius has always been in the country world. Like, let's be real. Like, that's as rocky as he got with Hootie. And then, like, he's just a Charlie Pride dude. And that's fine. You know, so, you know.
You did it. You dropped the Charlie Pride reference.
Hey, man. I grew up with the guy. My grandma rocked this dude. So I was like, any black dude who played music, I was just like, bet. I'm in your circle. Like, that's how it is. I'm hideously racist when it comes to music. But let's just stop the noise. The lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones will be walking through that door at any point in time. So just stay tuned. She gonna be there. But first, we have the wonderful Lauren Maupin with us. She is the education and program manager at the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Museum. Lauren, what's up?
Not much. It's a pretty good day.
Good. It is a good day because you're here. And Leslie just walked in because that's how she makes her entrance.
Because it's been a... Yeah, all right.
I know. You don't even have to tell me. Like, you don't even have to tell me. I know your life. I know your life.
Oh my God!
It's nonstop. Can we do
a
mic check?
A midget.
Well, raise that back.
You're so low to the. You should see yourself.
Like, I feel like I'm back in grade school over here.
To
like
get you in the frame. Raise your chair.
I'm in the corner.
Raise your chair.
Apparently, I've been moved
no,
to the dunce
no,
corner.
No, because this makes me feel sexist and horrible. You must be below me.
Right?
No, please raise
David's
your chair.
Got this big old cushy
I feel horrible.
Chair,
I'm in my like
arms and
Lannister
everything.
Game of Thrones chair, and I've subjected her
right,
to the bro.
I'm in the little chair.
Right.
I'm in the little people chair.
What our listeners have to realize is that in the high-powered world of WPVC, it's really catch can in terms of the chairs around here. It's whatever we can find.
Lauren, I'm sorry, but we have to address an issue. Like the chair situation in the station is a little bit it's a little bit cutthroat. You like you got to get yours and you got to like really stay there because if you move, you try to get some coffee.
And if you have a good one, you have to like hide it. Because the other stations in this build will like steal that.
Word, you gotta put papers in it and chairs in it.
Right.
It's war over here.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at this. Look at this.
look at this.
We got a jerry rig the mic stand for Christ's sakes.
Just taking the mystery away.
Jeff, I'm sorry, Jeff. But the world's got to know.
Fix it, Jeff. That's all I'm saying.
Warren Maupin is with us. This is what we do, Lauren. I'm so sorry.
Don't apologize.
She's like unentertained.
It's wonderful what you do.
She's like, you brought me here for this. I woke up on Sunday early for this.
You know how I do.
She is putting on Night at the Museum. Food, drinks, and live music. All that stuff is going to be lit at the Klugeru Aboriginal Art Museum on June 21st.
I think it's going to come to life and, like, scare us.
Nothing is going to come to life.
I see what you did
other
there.
Other than... the Charlottesville community, I hope, and the band that's playing.
Look at
and,
her,
the, and the love for Indigenous art
that's
all
right.
over
that's right.
the world. Mm-hmm. So talk about it. Can you talk about, first of all, because we had a little, not a tiff, but I had a little moment where I called you a director, and you were like, that's not true.
I'm not
so
a director.
So I want to know what the difference is being a director of a museum and the goings-on of that, and an education and program manager. What specifically?
Right. Well, it's really different in different size museums, right? So the Klugeru Aboriginal Art Collection is pretty small. We have 4 full-time staff. And so our director, Margot Smith AM, she's a wonderful human being. She really does a lot of recently grant writing and determines a lot of the future direction of the museum and how we can grow and develop. And as education and program manager, my title is sort of funny. I do a lot of things. So I manage all of our education and programs, but I also special events like Night at the Museum coming up. And I also work with our membership program and our marketing, and I do most of our budget. You know, we're a small thing. I manage our volunteers.
You're a manager.
I do our graphic design too.
Yeah.
So
oh,
you know,
wow.
there's lots of things. There's lots of things.
You got 13 jobs, man.
Yes.
You do a lot.
I do a lot.
At the Aboriginal Art Museum. But you love what you do.
I do. I really love what I do.
You never have to come to work.
That's
you never
right.
have to come to work.
That's right.
So, so talk about it. Night at the Museum, nothing's coming to life.
Yeah, so.
I know.
But stuff is going to happen. So
yeah,
talk about
it. Exciting them. Things are going to happen.
Wait, no, but
see, you always jump in.
I'm coming back to it.
Okay, I'll let you go. I'll trust you. There is truly a method to my madness.
Exciting
There's
things.
Truly a method to my madness.
Well,
I'm going to get into the event. We're going to talk about the stuff, the nitty gritty in general, and then we're gonna come back to the event. I'm telling you, like, I got it, bro. I got you, fam. All right, talk about it.
Yeah. So, Night at the Museum. First of all, it's not the first time this has happened. So, we've been doing this now. I think this is the 6th or 7th year that we've been doing Night at the Museum.
Okay.
I think we started before Carter's Mountain even started their
what?
Sunset series.
I Shots know, fired.
Right? Gauntlet.
Not
laid.
Quite.
Bump them apples.
yeah. So, Night at the Museum is an outdoor concert series. It happens on the 3rd Thursday of each month in the summer, so June, July, and August.
Okay.
June's date is June 21st, which is this upcoming Thursday. And July, it's July 19th, August 16th.
Okay.
And the event starts at 5, goes till 9 p.m. The band goes on at 6, so the band changes each month.
Mm-hmm.
And this Thursday, we have Larkspur playing. So I know Alison Krauss is playing as well on Thursday. So
what?
If you can't afford $150 Alison Krauss tickets, you can come over to Klugeru.
$150?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Allison, does she sing money?
Alison gets paid now.
Alison fancy.
She is.
Alison, no, seriously. Alison been doing this for like 35 years. Okay?
I heard her name.
Larkspur is amazing, and they're, you know, we're really excited to have them play on Thursday.
That
and then
dope.
We're also going to be featuring
local music.
Yes, this Thursday we're featuring wine from Glasshouse Winery on Free Union. We're
Glasshouse Winery, shout out to MJ,
so good.
Sorry.
And then beer from Blue Mountain Brewery and cider from Bold Rock. So all local food
I recommend the Kolsch
well.
From Blue Mountain Brewery.
The Kolsch is
mm-hmm.
good. 151. It's very good.
Yes, it's very good.
Yeah. And then we also always have a slew of food trucks, and we pretty much always have the Pie Guy because, come on, they sell classic Australian savory pies.
Okay.
Delicious.
Okay.
Pie Guy's
and we're
good.
An Indigenous Australian art museum, right? So it makes good sense. It's fitting. And then we also had, it's a very, really family friendly event. So we have a kids zone with all kinds of cool Australian themed kids activities.
Right on.
And we also, you know, it can be warm in the summer in Charlottesville outside. Mm-hmm. So the wonderful thing is that you're at an art museum where it's very cool because mm-hmm. we have to protect the artwork, right? So you can always take respite indoors and check out the art. And we have a couple tours that happen throughout the evening too called flat chat tours, because flat chat is an Australian term that, or Australian, it's really Australian slang that means like busy and quick.
Okay.
So they're quick tours. They're like 10-minute tours of an object.
Flat chat.
We have one view. Yes.
Flat chat.
Oh, God. Out. He's going to start using that now.
Get it started.
Let's go, guys. I use it a lot. I'm just running flat chat today.
It works. He's going to start using it.
No, because it'll be out of place.
It will be out of place. He's going to use it completely inappropriately.
How many minutes do we have?
We've got 6 minutes.
Okay, cool. So let's get into the nitty gritty. So Aboriginal art. Let's talk about Indigenous art and the common misnomers of Indigenous art, being that is misunderstandings rather. Go.
Yeah. So I mean, a lot of people when they hear Aboriginal art or Indigenous art, generally think about artwork that is older, that's made from natural materials, that is quote unquote primitive.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, Indigenous Australian art is really contemporary, very colorful, and really what's fascinating about Indigenous Australian art, from my perspective, is that artists are frequently drawing on traditions that go back thousands of years, and actually Indigenous Australian art is the oldest continuous art tradition in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they're constantly experimenting and also like innovating, and developing really creative ways of communicating their culture cross-culturally, globally.
Wow.
So yeah, it's like drawn on this ancient tradition, but also very much existing in the contemporary world and investigating issues that are facing their people on a regular basis. So a lot of the work is political, if not in a in an explicit way, in an implicit way, in that it's a profound sort of, I mean, the artwork really is a voice of the people as a way of sort of expressing their long time ties to place, in the context of in invasion, right, in the 19th century.
Eighteenth century.
Sorry.
Let's paint a picture about the colonizers, shall we?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, imagine that a group of brown people, indigenous people,
making art about their colonization,
and that medium being completely like trivialized misinterpreted
and misconstrued, and
Gee,
you know, I'm like getting some, like, I think this has happened before. Yeah, there's some similarities.
Similarities. And actually, we have an exhibition up right now at the Rotunda by an Indigenous Australian artist named Judy Watson, and that series of prints explores sort of the shared histories between oppression towards people of color in the States and experiences in Judy Watson's own family in Australia. So making those global connections between what's happened here and what's happened in other places.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. To talk about that and talk about like more of the connotations that people might see in indigenous art that is, you know, common and relative to the Western world, so to speak, in a place where people would, because people, like we said, misunderstandings, like, you know, oh, I'm just going to see like nose bones and loincloths. I'm not going to see anything that really like I connect with, or like, you know, especially, you know, let's white people.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest, the majority of Charlottesville. So talk about what people might see that might connect them, whereas they might think it wouldn't.
Oh, so like ways that they might connect with the artwork that they wouldn't be expecting.
Yes.
Despite
my stupid way of saying it.
No. That's fine.
It's okay. David takes 5 minutes to ask a question.
Like I said, I'm like an old car. I got to warm up. By 11 o'clock, I'm good. Oh my God. I'm still on the road.
So people
but the show's over at 11.
That's why it's a problem.
So people connect with the artwork in a lot of different ways. I mean, I would say one thing that a visit to the museum does do is compel folks to learn more about our local history here and our local people here. So I just want to acknowledge that we're on the land of the Monacan Nation right now and just say and pay my respects to their elders, past and present, who, you know, were here for thousands of years before anybody else arrived. So, you know, a lot of what that visit does is, you know, encourage understanding, a more global understanding of our world and of what other peoples have to offer in our world. I think too, I think it's easy in this country, or can be, to feel like we're the only place that's having some of these problems or facing these obstacles. And I think it is good to remember that these things are happening in other places, but also that the things that happen here are having an impact globally, right? So, you know, when everything happened here last summer, Indigenous Australians started pulling down monuments towards Captain James Cook. You know, like that happened. So it's not as if,
And right after that happened, then like all of a sudden the Australian government like made an apology for everything they did to Indigenous people. All of a sudden Canada made an apology to their Indigenous people. Like,
well,
people started making payments to Indigenous people for taking, like...
Well, so to my knowledge, it hasn't happened in Australia yet. And the apology actually happened in 2007. But a lot of what Indigenous Australian people that I've talked to have said is like, yeah, the apology was really great and important. But at the same time, you know, when has that been followed up with action? Has it been followed up with action? Et cetera.
Yeah, snaps to that. And we're going to get... I mean... Duh, what happens here happens everywhere. What happens to one of us affects every one of us. No joke. We gotta pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hello, this is local artist and expressionist painter Adam Disbro. You are listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
19 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown.
You're late.
So late. 94.7 CP time. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. We are talking to Lauren Maupin. She's the education and program manager of the Kluge Brew Aboriginal Art Museum. They're throwing down Night at the Museum, which is one of the three events going on this summer. But this one is on June 21st at the museum. Food, drinks, live music. Bring your flask. I'm
or
not.
Bring you. No.
She's like,
no,
don't do that.
No. We do not bring the flask into the museum.
There's plenty of libations to satisfy.
Okay. Gotcha. I'm just saying, you know, I just remember my uncle and stuff. All right, so
please, you know what? I had an uncle that brought a 6-pack to a funeral. Don't.
Yo.
Not joking. Started the eulogy. You hear from the back row.
Like, really? I thought it was open bar, but I was lied to. All right. So let's get into where I call this the hardball section.
The hardball.
This is the hardball section. Yeah. David doesn't do hardball. No, let me just let you know that up front.
But, all right. So honestly, we live in Trump's America, which is very used to, just kind of letting things be what they may and letting the chaos fall and just sitting by and watching everything being, you know, addicted to TV and the internet, what have you. But what I'm saying is a lot of people aren't going to the museum anymore. Mm-hmm. And we had
the museum, like, generally?
In the general sense. Okay. I'm not even talking about the Aboriginal Art Museum. I'm just talking about museums in general. Mm-hmm. And we had the Sarahs come on a show not too long ago, about a month ago. You know what I'm talking about. They're UVA. Yep, from the Fralin. They're UVA curators. And they were talking about reinventing and innovating the ideal of the museum. How even the museum itself is a misunderstanding. How people think they're just going to walk through and see the same stuff that they saw, like, in grade school. You know, you walk by, you see the dinosaur exhibit, you see the mastodons.
Yeah, and they don't,
you
they
walk
don't
by,
get
you
how
see the Revolutionary
them.
War.
Yeah.
That you press a button that plays something, blah, blah, blah.
Right?
So do you feel that the museum, or the idea behind it at least, needs a redesigning or an innovation? And if so, what does that look like, or what does that mean to you?
So I would say that already we are redesigning, like, as I mean,
that's cool.
As an institution, I mean, sorry, as an institution, I think we are fairly progressive in some of the things that we're doing. So, in a lot of cases, museums have collections, that were collected in have objects that were collected in a variety of different ways, and they see their role, as one of sort of authorship, right? So they kind of, they curate these works, right? Like they select works and they present those works around a theme in an exhibition, and those works are on view, and then they come down and they go back into art storage. And I think one of the things that is really unique about what Kluge Ru has always done and what we are continuing to do is that we bring Indigenous artists here to talk about their work. So throughout the year, last year we had over 25 Indigenous Australian artists or people come to Charlottesville to interpret their work for our public, and to give us more information about it. So we're going to communities and bringing those communities to Charlottesville to speak about their works, partly because it's important. We see our role not as one where we are speaking for Indigenous Australian people, but we are a platform to amplify their voices, right? So, and that is different. You know, a lot of museums don't consult the communities that their objects come from or don't even know what communities they are. And we have some objects like that too, but for the most part, we are connecting our works with Indigenous Australian people as much as possible. And a great example of that actually is one of the is one of the exhibitions that we have on view right now. So one of the exhibitions that we have on view right now is a collection of paintings on bark. And they're works from our collection.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah, so there's works from our collection in there, but the community that those barks came from in the 50s and 60s contacted us through another partnership that we had and said, hey, we want to see images of those works and we want information about them. And so we sent them that information. And then ironically, bark painting in that community had not happened for about 25 or 30 years. And when they saw these works by their grandfathers and great grandfathers in this collection, they were like, we need to start bark painting again. And so they started this movement. They like revitalized that movement. And so the exhibition that we have on view features those historic works, the images that we sent to them, and then also two new works from the community that were made as a result of seeing those actual historical works. So it's a really exciting story about, and then we brought people from that community here just a few weeks ago to talk about their works and to reconnect in a physical way with those historical works. So I feel like I just said works a lot in a short period of time. But it's really exciting exhibition.
You made it work.
Thanks.
You were working it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, what was my question?
I don't know. What was your question?
You had a question.
Anyway, it is a great...
Also wanted to say that... Not to steal Clinton's thunder, but you said that you researched that the Aboriginal Art Museum in Charlottesville is one of the only ones in the
world. Yeah, so
one of the world outside of.
Well, yeah, so there are some right now. There are some regional museums of Indigenous Australian art in Australia, but we're the only museum just dedicated to Indigenous Australian art outside of Australia. So you pretty much have to go to Australia to see anything. As interesting and good as what we have on view right here in Charlottesville on Pantops Mountain.
You're right next door, people.
Yes.
Get your Aboriginal art on.
And that leads me to my question. I remember.
Okay.
So this is a show about local art. We focus a lot on local art. That's what we do. We celebrate local art. We try to get people excited about local art. And when I first started programming it, I was thinking, oh, local art, local art, local art. But then I ran into the situation, well, wait, we've got these museums in town and we've got people who, you know, what happens with people who bring non-local artists in? That also is an aspect of the local art scene. And I think potentially a really important aspect. Can you talk about the benefits and the effect of being able to bring art outside, you know, to be a
conduit,
a portal, yeah, and a conduit for stuff from outside coming in, and what that can do to enrich this area?
Yeah, I mean, that's so much a part of what we do that I almost have to think about how to respond to that. I mean, I think that Charlottesville can be very insular, and it can be really hard.
You don't say.
Sorry.
Yes. And it can be really hard. I mean, it can be really easy to forget the world, the very large world that exists outside of this place. And so I think, and I know, and I say that having lived here pretty much my entire life, and my family has lived here, both sides of my family have lived here for hundreds of years. So I think that, you know, it's really easy to forget everything that's outside of this place. And I think that Kluge Rue does a really good job of, I think we, you know, as an institution, remind people of not just things that are a little far away, but things that are really far away, and not just things, but people. And in some ways, a lot of what we do draws attention to how, you know, we're all human. And in other ways, what we do draws attention to how different, you know, like it creates an appreciation of our human differences at the same time. So we mm-hmm. sort of do both of those things at once, which is really cool.
Mike effing drop. Lauren Moffin, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Hopefully we can
me.
Get you back on to plug the next two shows.
Would love that.
I'm going to talk to my program manager over here, / director, / producer, / caterer, / blah, blah, blah. But thank you so
caterer.
Much.
Caterer.
Thank you. Thank
you. He brought you food?
Sometimes.
He's never brought me food.
Sometimes. Like maybe like a snack bar or two. But that's neither here nor there.
You're really you. Salty about that, weren't you?
I'm a little salty about that. He brought you food? I have cooked dinner for this.
You are tech over salted.
Okay, no, that's fine.
I don't even remember.
That's fine. Right,
let's
no.
just,
hey,
no.
what's coming up? Here's just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running through June 20th, A Doll's House at Oak Grove Theater over the mountain in Verona. In Verona, where we lay our scene. Currently running now through June 23rd, Dennis LaHane's Coronado at Guerrilla Theater. Sick of people walking to a bar for a story of true love, adultery, and murder.
Sounds like a regular night.
Is that in that order? Currently running June 30th, An Exaltation of Locks, painting of birds from various artists at Cromer Projects. Currently running through June 30th, Trio, new paintings, drawings, and works on papers by Abby Kasnick? Kasonic? I think it's Kasonic. I'm sorry, Abby. We're going to have you on the show so you can correct it at New City Arts. Now, through September 9th, The Gun Gunny. Old Techniques Remain Strong, an exhibition of paintings on eucalyptus bark from the West Yilley region of Northern Australia at the Kluge Rue Aboriginal Art Collection. Which we were just talking to. Yay, that's... serendipity. Currently running through December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center runs its summer / fall season with just four plays.
Four?
Just four plays.
Four?
Emma Whipday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma.
Oh, good.
George Etheridge's The Man of Mood.
Excuse me?
Or Sir Fopling Flatter and Richard III and As You Like It by Shakespeare. Currently running through January 27th, Reflections, Native Art Across Generations, an exhibition of the work of several contemporary Native American artists at UVA Fralin Art Museum. I don't know why I tripped up on that. Today, Prince Platters and Pints.
Are you okay?
Prince Platters and Pints. A craft fair of pottery, jewelry, textiles, visual art. No, I'm so not okay. And more at Champion Brewery at 1 p.m. Shout out to Sean Chandler. I love me some Champion. Today, Sarah Tremaine demonstrates a Nuno felting technique to make felt and silk garments. I don't know why I made that Spanish. Hopefully that's what it is. Nuno.
Oh,
Nuno?
My God.
Nuno felting? Or Nuno felting? At the Bar Nuno. Swallow at 1 p.m.
June 19th, Lighthouse Studio shows Taxi Driver. I've heard of that. At Vinegar Hill Theater as part of their Vinegar Hill 76 movie series. June 20th, a lot of stuff. Well, a couple things. Fun for the Young with Amy Hunt at UVA's Fralin Art Museum. Arts related stories time led by art educator.
You took your
Amy
William
Hunt's
Shatner pill this morning, didn't you? That's what you did. Never take the William Shatner pill before you do the show.
Art related stories time led by art educator Amy Hunt. While museum docents encourage kids to engage with museum exhibitions. Also June 20th, laugh your ass off. Comedy open mic hosted by Chris Allen at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall, June 21st through July 1st. A Chorus Line at UVA's Colbert Theater, the first offering in the Summer's Heritage Theater Festival. June 22nd, Bent Theater Comedy Improv plays The Bridge, Progressive Arts Initiative. June 23rd, Butchertown Burlesque at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. June 23rd, freelance writer, editor, and writing coach Lisa Ellison leads the sexy arts of critiquing manuscripts.
I'm sorry, what?
For the Charlottesville Writer House. That the sexy arts of critiquing manuscripts.
That ain't sexy. I've critiqued a manuscript. That ain't sexy. No, well, unless
put yourself in the position of the reader.
Hold on. Wait.
Stretch your legs akimbo as to what their mind was
on what the manuscript entails.
You're just going to have to take Lisa's seminar and see.
You just gotta see it for yourself.
My.
You just gotta see it.
I don't know if I wanna see that. You know,
at least hear it, you know.
You wanna hear it?
Put my face on the glass. June 23rd, author Robert Boucheron leads Igniting Your Flash Fiction, prose that's less than 1,000 words at the Charlottesville Writer House. Also, June 23rd, expert homesteader Charles McRaven. He sounds like a homesteader. That sounds like a homesteader
that
name.
That is a homesteader name.
Charles McRaven discusses his books on pioneer skills and the historic American building tech. I imagine him having like a hatchet on the side
and we all know that if he'd had three names, he'd be a serial killer.
And like, he shows himself with said hatchet.
Oh, of course.
And historic American building techniques at the New Dominion Bookshop. And for your music options this week.
Oh, your music options today. Maddie Metcalf, Miles Pierce, Tango Project, at Star Hill Brewery Tap Room at 3:30. That's going to be a party. Tomorrow, ATM Unit at Rapture, the 19th, Charlottesville Municipal Band at the Paramount Theater. The Municipal Band. They've been going forever, haven't they?
Yep.
Like 125 years.
They do good work.
Crap.
Monday through Friday.
They do.
9 to 5. A little later on Saturdays, but they come through. Get it, Municipal?
Yeah. We did get that.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to throw that out there. Waka
June 19th, Bob Huntington and then Travis Elliott at Fellini's. The 21st, the Currys at the Whiskey Jar. He's laughing way too hard at his own darn joke.
No,
okay?
I'm just laughing at the inability for me to joke.
The Monk's Brews with a View at life. Second Street Gallery features Sally Rose and Aaron Lunsford. Hey, Sally, what's
Sally
up,
Rose?
Girl? Yeah, don't mess with Sally. Have you seen her? Like, she's almost a black belt. Like, she...
No, I don't mess with
you,
roses.
Like,
Sally Rose, Amber yes. Rose, Derek Rose.
No particular order at Dirty Nelly's. Nick and Steve Paddock at Fellini's on the 22nd. Lord Nelson plays Fridays after 5. Charlottesville's Jimmy Buffett cover band, the Full Moon Saloon Band. Of course, Charlottesville would have a Jimmy Buffett cover band. Like, where else would that happen? They're playing at Glasshouse Winery. Full Tones to the Max at Dirty Nelly's on the 23rd. Choose Your Own Adventure at the Whiskey Jar. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I always choose my own adventure when whiskey is involved, but,
Indeed. You
know, that's just me. I don't know your life. You know what I'm saying? Jim Wave at Albemarle Cider Works on the 23rd. Mighty Joshua at Jefferson Vineyards, South Canal Street at Cunningham Creek Winery and Farm Store. Jason Berkman at the Batesville Market
Jason
on the 23rd. What's up, Jason? Love you. Dance to Nelson's Jazz Rascals at the Dance Spot on the 23rd. Nelson's Jazz Rascals.
They're rascally.
That's a rascally. I mean, it's
musicians.
An okay name, but I don't know. Anyway, the 23rd, DJ W, woo! And DJ Flatline J spin their 90s hip hop night at the Devin, I am so there. So there. DJ Groovematic at Rapture. Okay, here we go. The weekly list. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music Weekly Open Jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Red of the Romantic Guest, the Whitsy Jar, Songwriter Night at the Local. That's all on Monday, people. Tuesday, the traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Verdadero. Wednesday, Open Mic Night at Pro Ray, Not a Farm Brewery.
Bam!
Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Bam!
Jazz Collective Number 9, Fellini's Number 9.
Bam!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero. Bachata
Bam!
Fusion at the X Park.
Bam!
Stone Rolling at the Shabin Pub.
Shabin!
And Mike Krasinski of Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Baba Booshka!
Maggie Wednesday.
What? What in the world?
Baba Booshka!
Every Thursday, we have Lua at the Bebedero. And every Thursday, John Durf at Miller's. John, you really need to come on this show. We're tired of yelling your name and you're
free
never here, man.
Free ad space.
For real.
Every
come on, dude. Like,
week. We're going to pay some bills
like,
and be back
with
David
four times. Like,
yo,
come on, man.
Come down to Durf.
You can bring the trumpet.
This
it's
is
fun.
Homegrown. Drop!
This is Carmel Clavin of Spectacle and Mirth. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
I haven't had any either!
Oh, 38 minutes past the hour if you're just tuning in. You're listening to Homegrown, 94.7
WP. Short drop.
VC.
What?
The progressive voice of Charlottesville. Shorten out. See, it's not the. It's, there's no coffee. There's no coffee involved. I'm David. That's Leslie.
That's what's
Clinton
wrong with
on the
you
boards.
Today.
David Plunkett is in the house. Who? David Plunkett. What? David Plunkett. Stay tuned, however, for the Sunday morning wake up call. With your host, Rick Moore. His guest today is Clay Hansen. Of the Executive Center of the Thomas
Hansen?
Jefferson Center. Clay Hansen. You're talking about this year's Muzzle Awards.
That's right.
Well, all right.
But first,
Clinton
we got David Plunkett.
Clinton is so
what?
Unhappy
David
over there.
Plunkett.
Can I just tell you? Like, he is so unhappy with us right now.
Yo, you know when we're having a fun
a,
on the show,
we're gonna
then it's
get
a problem.
We're going to get a talking to we're, afterwards. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I know.
A little combo.
It's coming.
It's okay.
It's coming.
It's okay.
Did that stay for the talking to?
No. No, it's always bad.
It's really bad.
Is like, it going to be on Facebook Live?
No.
He makes us feel really ashamed.
But David Plunkett is the director of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
That was just that one time. Okay.
But it stuck with us. It
right?
burned. It burned deep.
There was trauma.
You were seething, man. There's
know,
foam coming
right?
out of your mouth.
It was, I know. It was.
I've never seen that side of
well,
you.
Well, and like we were down and you were like up, so you were like towering
yeah,
over
yeah,
us.
Yeah.
It was a whole
I was scared.
Thing.
I was
know.
Scared.
I was scared
for my
too.
Life.
I'm glad I wasn't the only
hey,
one.
Hey, look, we have a guest.
David Plunkett. What?
I'm
David
scared.
Plunkett. All right, so you're semi-new to the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. January?
Well, yeah, I've been the director since January, but I've been working there for 15 years. So,
okay.
So not new
not,
at all.
Not new at all. But
so you like bout time, right?
He gave you that job. You're like, damn straight.
Right. And the new director is there. You damn right. It's David Plunkett.
You damn right. It's me. That's right.
You know?
What?
I've been here since Regal Cinema, mofo.
This is true. I have been.
True. I'm saying, paid your dues, started from the bottom, now you're here.
This all, is
right.
Sure.
All right. Sure. So how's it feel?
It feels great. You know, I'm, like you said, new to this job,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's big shoes to fill. The previous director was there for 20 years.
Wow.
He really, like, sailed the ship to
mm-hmm.
the... You know, organizationally in great shape, so it's like taking over something that's working well and figuring out how to expand on that rather than taking over something that's on fire
right.
and trying to figure out how to put
right
that
on.
Out. So,
yeah.
great.
Right now, Barack Obama, who, of course, listens to the show every
of course.
Week.
Of course.
Is sitting here thinking, what is that like?
Right?
Tell me what that's like
right,
to just
right.
come in and take over something that's in
does he,
really
does he
good
Facebook
shape.
Live chat with you all?
he doesn't.
No.
He says
he's really,
his,
he doesn't.
One of the security guards left with him when they talked to him.
Silent partner.
So, yeah, don't wreck the Ferrari, basically, of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
Pretty much, yeah.
So we've so what we've been seeing is, and I kind of want to tail end to the previous interview that we had before, that we see, like, there's this heavy, like, not PR, but, like, resurgence of energy by the Jefferson Madison Regional Library into the community. April being National Poetry Month, the Summer Reading Challenge. And these have already been, like, ideas that have been in the community before, but you're really pushing them. Like, you came onto our show, you know, and we're the biggest show in Charlottesville, Virginia.
We are.
So, I mean, you came to the source. Right. So, you know, it seems like you're really trying to push all of the stuff going on at the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. So, yeah, I mean, is that intentional? Do you feel like there's like, well, of course it's intentional.
Is there a question in there somewhere, David?
No, I mean, why?
David's just having a convo with you. There's
no. No, see, I'm waiting for people to jump in.
Yeah. Homegrown, the question-free interview show.
Where you just start talking whenever I stop talking. I just start talking.
Yeah.
I got things to say.
Yeah. There's something in there.
I think that, you know, I'm interested in the hardball question that you asked the Klugeru the folks.
Ooh, there you go. He wants to go right for the hardball.
Oh, I got my hardball question if you really want.
I'm interested in that specific question, though. Is it
choose your own hardball question now. Come on, right. Man.
Well, I was interested in the idea that, you know, the museum is an institution that's been around for a long, long time, basically, and that the way people interact with it now is different, right? The world is changing. It's changed so much in the last bit that the library is in the same boat, basically, right? And there have been libraries for hundreds
Ever.
Of years. Yeah, thousands of years, and public library service in the United States for hundreds of years, basically, and it was always this model that we all had as kids where you walk in, somebody helps you find a book, you walk out with a book. That still exists. We still do that. That's part of the core mission of what we do. But it's so much more than just books that the library has changed and is offering these amazing things. And now it's a matter of everybody realizing, oh, cool, look, I can go do this. I can 3D print something at the library. We can go, you know, we're having a...
Yeah. They've got a 3D printer. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, two 3D printers. They're kind of scary, but the staff knows how to use them. You just don't.
You can't bring guns on it like Black Mirror, right?
you could try. I don't think it's big enough. I think you would come away with like a little you know, spy gun.
It wasn't Black Mirror. It was the Cloverfield effect. Okay. That movie.
Yes.
That was on.
Oh, yeah.
No, but that was basically my hardball question. It's like, I don't need to go and check out a book anymore because I can go to Audible. Mm-hmm. Like, I can go to the internet anywhere. So it's like, I was basically going to say, like, all cold and stuff. Like, why do I need the library? But you're telling me I can 3D print stuff. So,
David is now thinking about all of the things he can 3D print.
I'm sold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Northside Library right up the street.
You're going to see a lot of it now.
Good.
Well, you'll probably get tired of it.
That's okay. You know, come visit anytime. The 3D printer's not in my office, so we'll be all right.
Well, that's no fun.
Look, David got jokes.
No, man.
I like him.
See, if I was director, I would have that straight up in my office.
Yeah. Come in. Well, I want to watch what you're printing.
Hold on.
That's why
I'm
he has the
it.
Job and not you.
The dirty secret about 3D printing is that it takes forever. It's basically like making a sandcastle with a drip castle, you know, but with melting plastic. So jobs take, like, to print something, you know, this big as your hand or whatnot, would take like 12 hours. So
what else? What else are we going to find at the library that we didn't find in the past?
Well, you mentioned Audible, and, you know, the library also offers downloadable materials. We have books that you can check out, ebooks you can check out. Mm-hmm. You can check out e-audiobooks through our services. We have a couple different services there, and it's actually... J. Morrell serves Charlottesville, Albemarle, Nelson, Louisa, and Green. So it's a huge physical area. It's like the size of Delaware, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can check books out from any of those libraries and return them to any other libraries. But we also have this huge downloadable collection that, if it were a branch, if it were a location, it would be one of our busiest.
Right.
That's where the checkouts are surging. You know, people want to stay at home and get their books and whatnot. So,
You know what? My mom lives in Newport News, and she checks out audiobooks all the time. Yep. Like, she gets like two or three audiobooks a week because, you know, I didn't steal it. We drive a lot, so she checks out audiobooks and just listens to them
in the car.
Every time I get in the car, I was like, "What are we listening to today?
What book am I going to start halfway through?"
Right, halfway through, and like get all interested and care about the people, and then never hear the ending. Like,
I'm reading Harry Potter. I don't know if you've heard of it. The boy is a wizard.
Right.
And I had it on my Kindle.
Familiar with the...
My cat returned it the other day. That can't happen with a physical book. She walked on it, hit something, they returned it, and it was almost over, and going to try to find a new one.
So you don't know the ending.
Yeah, I think he dies. But... Well, spoilers.
We won't spoil it for you.
We got to pay some bills. Hopefully a cat doesn't walk over this board right now.
God, if a cat walked over Jack's that board, that's, I mean.
We'll be right back with David Plunkett. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hey guys, this is John Johnson of Darkson Entertainment. You're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
47 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest today is Clay Hansen. Executive Center of the Thomas Jefferson Center. Talking about this year's Muzzle Award. I can't help but say it that way. Hanson. 94.7 WPVC. I am David. That is Leslie.
Doom bop. Do-da-da-ba. Doom bop. Do-da-da-ba. Do. Woo yeah. I'm sorry. It just happened.
David Plunkett is in the house. David Plunkett. What? David Plunkett. What? David Plunkett. Director of Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Yo, library's killing it.
I think
3D
so.
Print. We got 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right, 5 minutes. Validate your existence. Go.
Now.
All right. Well, this is something that I have to do on a regular basis.
He's used to it.
Yeah.
He got this.
So here, we're talking about books, and we're talking about, you know, the different formats and the different programming the library offers. Mm-hmm. And I think basically it's a matter of connecting people to information. That's the mission of the library, providing equal access to information. So if you think about a library, and in your mind you replace the word books with information every time you think about it, it's not a warehouse of books, it's a warehouse of information. And right, the library's job is to connect people to that. So we do workforce, we do helping people with computers. You know, we have people come in every day that have no idea how to use the resources that they need to get through the modern world, and that's the place they come. That's the place they know to look for work. So that's part of what the library does. I'm interested. Specifically, I will talk about one thing that we're doing right now that I think relates to this show, the local arts show.
Okay.
We have a local voices collection, which is a new thing as of the past year or so. We used to have a very strict, this is all, you want to hear some library jargon?
Yeah.
You hear some like acronyms and
okay.
Things?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we have a collection speak. Development policy that says, you know, here's, we're going to get the book if it meets these criteria. You know, we're going to buy it if it's been printed by this, you know, it's big enough run, it's been reviewed, mm-hmm. things like that.
Right.
And people would come in and bring their books all the time because this is a really vibrant author community, you know,
hi,
in this whole area.
I'm an author.
We should talk. Yeah. So, you know, we've got all sorts of things going on. Then we've got NaNoWriMo, and all of a sudden everybody's got a book to bring in. And in the past it was like, oh, our local authors are John Grisham and Rita
right.
Dubb.
It's like, no, we do have more than that.
There are so many people doing amazing works here that we basically said, you know, we're shutting out. We're missing an opportunity. Let's just open up space, physical space, for people to bring in their own works, and we will slap a barcode on them. We will put them in our catalog.
Dope.
So you can at home, jmarl.org,
awesome.
You can search for somebody's name that you know, whatnot. And all the books are together, too, at the Central Library in downtown Charlottesville. You can come in, find the shelf, find your book, find your neighbor's book, find everybody, you know, and we're not...
That's so cool.
It's not
that is really
held,
cool, dude.
Yeah, yeah. So if you've got something, bring it in and we'll add it to the collection.
I do.
That way you can show everybody in the world, oh, you're in Timbuktu. Look, here's my book.
I have
David Plunkett is the plug, y'all. You got a book. He'll put
bring
you
it.
In.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's right. Oh!
He's my new friend.
That's super dope. That's like the record store when you kind of... Because even the record store wouldn't do that. It's like, hey, man, can you...
Here's
can
one
you, like, yeah, for real. Yeah. Like, can you put our demo on the shelf?
Nah,
they'd be
man.
Like, nah, fam.
Nah, fam.
Nah,
I can't do that, man.
Nah. But that's the bookstore will. The bookstore will put you on blast.
That?
Yeah. That's love right there. That's local love. So, what's going on the next 6 months? I know you got the Summer Reading Challenge.
Summer Reading
for
Challenge.
Kids
well,
down.
For all ages now.
Uh-oh.
So,
really?
So all three of you should stop by. Yeah, you're reading. Presumably you're reading something this summer.
What if I'm reading a script over and over and over
again?
David and
works.
I are reading a script over and over
one,
and
it,
over
it,
again. No, we are doing an all-black version of Macbeth.
All right.
The African-American Heritage.
Weeks, so.
Yeah, I'll book in 3 weeks.
There was a lot of reading of
now,
that one book in particular.
He is playing like the biggest part, so he's got got the most lines of anyone, but I am playing like four parts.
Oh, I don't know. Which is harder?
Yeah.
The one focused part or the four different parts?
I would rather be in my position than yours. I'll be quite honest.
Yeah, because I've got to like switch between like first I'm a goddess and then I'm a drunk lady and then I'm a murderer.
It's not about you. It's not about you. I'm just saying, I love you. I love you. But we'll get to you. But all right, so we got, so we got 1 minute, Mr. Plunkett. So again, super validate your existence. And thank you for having us on the show. And
God.
And you'll be back to tell us what the library is going to do next.
Sure. Yeah.
That's going to be amazing. I think it's going to be pyrotechnics next time.
Yeah, next
outside,
time.
Next outside
time.
Of
I'll bring
the Market Street
branch. 3D print some.
Yeah. Fireworks. I think you're going to be playing like the solo.
I'll do some Hootie for you.
There we go.
Living Color. You missed Living Color.
Oh, yeah. David Plunkett is my new best friend.
Right on the front steps.
He's my new best friend. Built a personality. David Plunkett, thank you so much.
Making the library fun again.
Yes.
Always fun.
Yes. For all rock aficionados of every color. And without further ado, we have Leslie's weekly rant.
Yes. So guess what? It's Father's Day, guys. And while, yes, I want to give a huge shout out to my pops, James Thomas, who's in church right now, but love you, pops. Call you later. I thought it would be good if we took a moment to think about all of the fathers that are kind of unsung in our communities, right? We always talk about those aunties that help us out during our lifetime, that are there when our mamas aren't, to like, you know, hit us on the back of the head when we messing up, you know.
We don't ask for that, but
you know, we don't ask for it, but it's needed.
It's sometimes.
I think we need to, especially in the Black community, take a moment to pay homage to all of the men that may not be biological fathers, but are serving those, are giving that to kids in our community. I'm talking about the basketball coaches. I'm talking about the soccer coaches, the teachers, the deacons in the church. I'm talking about the guys that go play basketball with the guys on Saturday mornings, right? All of those guys that are being mentors and respites for children to talk to and figure stuff out when those kids aren't going to mom or dad.
Speak on it.
And I think those men get overlooked. They do not get recognized. But I also know that there is a huge group of men, especially in this community, that do that on a regular basis. And I'm not just talking about 100 Black men. And they do an amazing job. They do an amazing mentorship program that goes through the schools, and it's awesome. But there are other teachers that spend their personal time mentoring kids. There are mechanics who, you know, kid brings the car to them and they end up talking to them for 3 hours about their life. You know, we need to pay attention to those men as well and celebrate them just like we celebrate biological fathers on Father's Day, because they're part of our community too, and they're doing the same work that a dad does. So I just wanted to take a moment and do a shout out to them.
Preach on. Yeah. We were just talking about Frank Walker before you
right.
walked in.
Frank is,
so it's like,
yes.
Yeah, Frank's yes. one of those.
He's
that
one
you
of
can
those,
like just
one of those old heads that you can just talk to.
That I've never met, but I feel like I've known for all of my life
right.
after having like a 10-minute conversation with him. So
yes.
it's stuff
yes.
like that. Shout out to my dad, David Jackson. We got
who just got married.
You just got married, you know?
Just got married.
Hey, you know, if it don't work out, try again.
We want to thank David Plunkett
believe in love.
And Lauren Moffin for being in the house today. Stay tuned for the Sunday Morning Wake Up Crawl with Rick Moore. His guest is Clay Hansen. Executive Center of the Thomas Jefferson Center, talking about this year's Muzzle Awards. I love you, Leslie. I love you, Clinton. It's always good to be here.
Oh, I love you more,
week.
David.
Yeah, it's good to see you when you decide to bring your ass.
You know, I got a busy life, right? I got a busy life.
Carve out some time for the D. That's all we're saying.
I love y'all.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering why we're listening to Adore, it's because it's my pop's favorite Prince song. That's why.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And my dad loves Prince in general, so...
Well,
that
who doesn't?
Out. Well, who doesn't love Prince? Yeah, that's all I got. And we'll call it a day.
Yeah.
Thank you all. We'll see you next week. And take it easy.
This has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music was by Positive Collective. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson, and Burke. Legal services, like a song. Coming up next, it's Rick Moore. With the Sunday morning wake up call. We'll catch you next week.
Catalog and bonus gift certificate by return mail right away.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.